Playing time is not required. This is the end of the bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I think I maybe become a Mets fan just because of that.
Don't do that to yourself.
I mean, Rangers fans not getting me anywhere. I do hate the National League and I hate New York, so I don't know why I would do that. But the Mets are 73-39 and 38-18 at home.
There you go. I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. I am not disparaging what the Mets have put together, but don't do that to yourself.
Remember Jonathan India?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 0-3 yesterday for the Reds, hitting that'll 244. Happen. So, yeah, but I think that is just batty. Hit us up on that Yates Flooring Center chat line. Heard the boys talking conference realignment. Don't know. What have you heard from the camp, the McGuire and the? I know you've been sending audio and stuff. What have you been hearing from those guys?
Yeah, not much. I actually didn't send that audio last night. It sent from my email because it was just easier to use my email for it than apparently it was for the guy who cut it up. And I listened to a few of the clips this morning, but they were not
usable.
They weren't usable. We had a feedback problem somewhere that I have to try to track down when we get off the air today and figure out why it happened the way it did. Because according to the guy who I am not blaming in any way, shape, or form. Let's make this clear. I don't think this was his fault. But from everything he told me, he did everything right and had all the right answers to all the right questions. And we still got the feedback. And what causes this feedback? And I'm giving way inside pitch baseball here. I'm sorry for everybody listening to this board. I'll go through this as quick as I can. We use an audio recorder. It is specifically designed to record audio. Everyone walking around has an audio recorder available on their phone. When you use your phone in this type of setting, you need to turn it to airplane mode because that way it stops sending and receiving text messages, emails, notifications, whatever the situation that your phone always does, or looking for a signal, so it just records. Your recording doesn't get messed up when you use your phone. Anybody who uses a recorder picks up the RF signals from your device, and it gives that little static thing in the background, and that's what we got a lot of. But according to the guy who went, he wasn't anywhere near another phone, but that's exactly what it sounded like, so I got to figure out what the heck happened.
Hmm.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
All right, it's time for What You Need to Know. We're going to get into some poll results here in just a little bit from our show yesterday with the Tadlock era baseball drafts. We'll get to some of that in just a moment. The guy that comes in at 11 o'clock has a substantial lead in Zachary David Sparkman. Texas defeats Houston in extra innings, 8-4. They went to 10 innings. Rangers 49 and 61. Or is that 51? I can't read.
201, I think, would be 61. More accurate.
49 and 61. Houston Astros 71 and 41. The eyes are starting to go on me, McGuire. It's happened like this week.
Well, when you see terrible baseball, that happens to you. And you've seen a lot of terrible baseball with the Rangers this year. Especially since July 1st.
Having trouble
focusing. I don't know what happened on July 1st for the Texas Rangers. Because it wasn't the All-Star break, because that didn't happen yet. But something happened with the Rangers at July 1st, and they went, oh, we're not supposed to hit the ball anymore? Or we're not supposed to throw strikes anymore? Oh. Okay. And then they stopped. I don't know what happened. They were not a great team. They were a good team. They were an okay team. And now they're just bad. I don't know what happened.
Eric wants me to ditch the Rangers and go to the Astros. Eric, that'll never happen. Sorry. Never, ever, 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 ever. Unless Perry maybe pitches for the Astros.
See, that would change things.
And that would change things. Baseball this afternoon. It's early afternoon baseball. 12:30, Rangers-Astros. The Rangers call. TNT 97.3. And then right in the middle of the bottom line, jumping in and taking over will be the Astros call on 100.7 The Score. We are listening right now. Again, live from the First United Bank, 100.7 The Score studios.
Little dueling play-by-play.
There is golf, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. It's always in Memphis, where it is 77 degrees. Mark Leishman is ahead as this is round one. This PGA dealing with lack of name syndrome because so many of them went over to the LIV Golf. The three guys that wanted to get back in to play in the FedEx Cup did not get that restraining order, so they cannot play and will lose all their points. But I see here latest golf videos. It's Rory. He's at the FedEx, and he's having to talk about LIV again. And he says the LIV Tour ruling lets FedEx Cup playoffs go on without sideshow, although he is talking about the sideshow. So maybe not quite. That goes through Sunday, and the purse is $15 million. So they're still paying cash money in the PGA as well. Let's see. They're overlooking Tua Tagovailoa. Like apparently somebody's talking about interest in Tom Brady for the Dolphins. He says, I'm still here. That's all noise. Yeah, I mean, I'm still here. To me, that's all noise at this point, says Tua. As we got the NFL coming up, fantasy drafts will be coming up. Serena says goodbye to Toronto as she lost. And the old playing career winding down for Serena Williams. She announced earlier this week that she would be retiring. Baseball continues, or basketball continues. How about football continues for Texas Tech? As they'll have a scrimmage coming up this weekend. And the opener, not too many days away for Texas Tech. Football, Lady Raiders are in Greece. And last I saw, they've been tearing it up.
Yes, they have. Like, you almost have to ask the question, were they playing against a junior high team for how much they have been tearing it up? And Coach Gerlich said she wanted her kids challenged. Like, when they set this schedule up, they said, do you want, like, easy games, or do you guys want a challenge? And she said, I want a challenge for my girls.
82-39.
Has not been delivered yet. So I am anxiously awaiting to see what happens in the next game. Or maybe this team is better. And I'm saying maybe with a big, giant, bold, italicized, underlined question mark. Maybe. I'm still in very much a wait and see for this year's Lady Raider basketball
team. Yeah, Olympiacos has not provided much of a challenge.
No. In any way, shape, or form.
Again, you can hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line, as we'll have a check of the calendar coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll have hot questions at 10:30.
Who's got those?
You.
Okay.
I've been just handing them to you.
I need to know is the only reason I'm asking. I have no problem asking the questions, but I would like to know now so I have time to, you know, pretend I have some.
All right, let's take a look at the end of the bench, Tim Tadlock era baseball players draft. We went through this yesterday, myself, Choice, and Spark. Spark's going to win this thing going away. He has 50% of the vote.
Ooh,
and
wow.
Then Choice and I are sharing the other 50%.
Okay. Yeah. Who's got Davis Martin? I haven't looked at this. I've been busy the last couple of days.
Choice.
Who's got Stephen Gingrey?
Me.
Okay. Jace Young.
Spark.
Josh Young.
Spark.
Ooh. That. Ooh. What about, okay, Tim.
See, here's how the first four
Devin
picks.
Devin Conley?
Here's how the first four picks went. Gingrey, Goot, Josh, Jace.
Nice. It's a solid pick with Goot.
See, and I limited myself because it's Tim Tadlock era, but I didn't want to select anybody that I didn't put my eyes on every day. So I have last 6 years, and that's all I have.
So you're missing some good key players before that.
Sure. And I knew I was going to, but I was going to do it anyway.
Okay. So you sabotaged yourself. Not saying that all the Tadlock's best players were beforehand.
Hey, I mean, I sabotaged myself, but I'm currently in second place. at 27.8%. Oh, and I can vote with my burner here. There we go. Guns Up Radio is going to vote for list one. That's the thing. Choice last night, I don't know if you saw, he started campaigning for his own list, which I thought we didn't do. No, I guess we do. So,
you campaign,
I mean, like,
for,
I...
Did you campaign for your own
list? I have
list
almost 9,000 Twitter followers, and I haven't campaigned for my list. Although Tech Hoops guy just now, this is the only campaigning that I did. He said, this is really tough. I'm inclined to go number one, list number one, since Gabe Holt is in the sixth round and seems like great value in the draft. Yeah, I got a future major leaguer and fastest guy that we've ever seen, well, that I've seen. Now, granted, he had his kind of kookiness at times and would do some no-brain things sometimes, but he was still an incredible player. I got him in the sixth round, Jeff.
That is a solid pick. I'm trying to think of some other really, really great players that you've had. And I know you've had a ton, but I'm trying to, like, elite, without just doing off the top of my head. Duchesne, did you have them combined or did you split them up?
They did not make the draft, both of them.
They did not make the draft. Wow. Okay.
Here, I'm going to go through mine.
Devin Conley make the list?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I went Gingrey, Killian, Hargrove, Klein, Baker, Holt, Garcia, McMillan, Quezada, Berglund, Morrell, Kelly. Parker favorited mine too, by the way. I think he enjoyed that, though he was in the 12th round.
Doesn't matter.
He made the pick. He made the team.
Okay.
Choice was Gutierrez, Martin, Little, Davis. That's Michael Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Smith, Cal Conley, Hayden Howard, Zach Reams, Kurt Wilson, Hudson White, Tanner Gardner, Cameron Smith. And then Spark with the Youngs killed it off the top. Young, Birdsell.
Nice.
Fulford, Noisy, Warren, Drozd, Nesloni, Beater. Did you see what Beater did yesterday, by the way?
Uh-huh.
Rayleigh, Proudfoot, and Cody Farhat.
Yeah, I think I got a Spark there.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Sorry for my delay.
It's okay.
I'm watching.
You didn't fall asleep, so you're fine.
No. I was watching this video.
Is she hot?
No, it's not that.
No longer interested.
No, you should be. They bet $1,000 that this guy couldn't take 50 Patron shots. This has 6.3 million views. Look at the rate. Look at the rate.
No. Oh, you don't want me doing
that. Oh, you had a bad experience with tequila.
You don't want me to. I'm just going to look over here now. Hey, look, there's people walking in the hallway. Yeah, no, I appreciate Jose for all the things he does for my friends. Okay? Jose and I are Nuggle friends. Jack, Jim, friends. Compadres, even. Jose Nas.
Okay, so this
not
video,
so
this video is a minute long.
Okay.
He does all 50 shots.
In a minute?
In under a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 7 seconds for this are them carrying him out of the bar.
Yep.
Can you imagine?
Yep.
The punch of 50 Patron shots.
Just gonna breathe.
It was that bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
On the 8th Flooring Center chat line, please tell us what... So the reaction that Jeff is having, what does that... What is that for you? Because for me, it's Irish car bombs.
When
we start
thinking
about Irish car bombs, I do what Jeff did, maybe not to that level, because mine was only kind of a one-night thing.
Oh, this was one night. and three friends and two bottles of tequila. And I wasn't really into it to begin with.
Yeah, I just kept going, though, didn't you? Peer pressure.
That's all we had. And it was a really bad day for all three of us beforehand, is how we got there. And when we were done, there were no bottles of tequila left. And have not enjoyed the substance since.
What do you got, Lucas?
The one drink that I cannot handle is Rumpel. Rumpel does not do.
You can have bad experiences with Rumpel?
Yes.
You can have good experiences with Rumpel, but you can also have some bad experiences with Rumpel.
So what is Rumpel?
Peppermint.
Peppermint.
Schnapps.
It's just peppermint schnapps?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is like 100 proof.
I haven't had peppermint schnapps since about 2005.
Tastes like Christmas.
Tastes like Christmas?
Tastes like Christmas.
The last time I had it was on a ski lift.
Yeah. It'd be a good place to have it.
Nighttime skiing.
Ooh. That is one of the hindrances to my objective. Not goal, it's not a resolution, but objective of learning to mix cocktails this year. Gin, rum, whiskey, I'm covered. I've got to find a tequila I can drink. And I'm just not excited about that procedure. Because I've had good tequila, I've had bad tequila, and even the good was not good.
I hope that $1,000 was worth it. Anyway, jeez.
$1,000 tequila? No. No. I'm not spending $1,000 on a bottle of alcohol.
No, that...
I work here.
That dude...
That guy. Yeah. Okay.
For winning the bet. That liver.
Did he win that bet, though? I don't know he won that bet. Well, he may have won the money. That doesn't mean he won that bet.
Tequila is my kryptonite. It makes me extremely sloppy. That's from Raider's Dad. I can do Patron, but they have to be chilled. It could probably put away 10 to 15. That's from Bullfighter.
If I'm doing any form of tequila, I haven't found one that I don't have to do this with. It's almost 1 to 1.5 tequila to lime juice in order to even get it down.
Mm.
And then it's the reason that the bartender we were going to when my friends were doing tequila shots, and I was looking for a cheap shot to do with them, we invented the Hyrick, which is a shot of whiskey with just a splash of Coke in it. Because I didn't want to just shoot whiskey. I enjoy sipping whiskey if I'm drinking whiskey straight. But just that quick little splash of Coke in it, or Dr. Pepper in my case, makes it an extremely strong bourbon and Coke. But, Now, this I am a fan of, the Dead Nazi half Jaeger, half Rumpel. That the cinnamon Jaeger combination in any way, shape, or form. And I know Rumpel's not... cinnamon, but the Hot Damn and Rumpel, Hot Damn and Jaeger, Goldschlager and Jaeger, although you miss kind of the fun of the Goldschlager when it's mixed with anything. Yeah, Wild Turkey 101 straight, never again, can't stand the smell of it. I've seen people have that reaction. I miss the 252, which is 151 and 101, yes.
Oh.
See, it's not the potency of the liquor that gets me. It's really the flavor and the reaction to it.
Mm.
Everclear doesn't affect me like tequila. There's something in the tequila that just... Ugh. I can't.
Whiskey Coke shot is called a Black Tooth at any bar in the country.
Hmm. We called it a Hyrick because the bartender was Rick. And when he poured him...
Hyrick!
It was, Hyrick! How are you? I'm good now. That's how we got it its name.
Oh, boy, that's funny. Yeah, those car bombs. I painted a curbside in Enid, Oklahoma, certain really quickly after that. But again, that peer pressure, he had just got back from Iraq, started calling me names, challenged my manhood. Stupid. Come along.
I have done all of my mistakes in that regard on my own. I peer pressure doesn't, if I don't want to drink it, I'm not going to drink it. And I've always been that way. There was a long time before when my friends were drinking and I wasn't. I was the designated driver and perfectly happy being the designated driver. Boy, am I glad those days are gone.
I was the youngest in my crew, but they always found ways to get me booze. The Palladium Club, you could sit in the back, dollar beers, penny beers until 11. And so the of age would bring me back cup, go back in line. Same way at the Tumbleweeds, the Wormy Dogs.
Never needed a fake ID. I was, God, this was 24, 25 before I was really drinking somewhat regularly, I guess would be the way to put it. Just wasn't my thing. And then it was. Don't know what happened.
Again, just a little bit on...
Oh, I could do some watermelon crawl shots. That could happen.
Recent Red Raiders into the minor leagues. Jace Young, 3-hit game. First multiple hit performance in professional baseball. That was last night. And the Somerset Patriots, this was funny. They said, from their official account, thanks, Dodgers. An absolute gem from Clayton Beter in his Yankees debut. 3 innings pitched, no runs, no hits, 6 strikeouts. Both those guys made our 100.7 the score player drafts, which the Spark is going to walk away with.
Sorry, Hacks.
That's okay.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 the score.
Hour number two on 100.7 the score here at the First United Bank Studios. You can reach us on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973, or through the mobile app that's brought to you by Happy State Bank. And you can use the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Dos Jefes edition of the program. Don't forget, coming up towards the end, about 11:40 or now, you can hit us up with Ask the Benchwarmers. We'll do our best to answer your questions about life, food, beverage, tech, athletics. Lucas White across the way, our producer today on this beautiful Thursday. Guess who's going to make an NFL debut tonight? This will be tough for you to get.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who's playing tonight.
Yeah, neither do I. I wouldn't have known this until I saw it. But Zach Kittley tweeted just a few moments ago, can't wait to watch my guy Bailey Zappi.
Oh, there we go.
How about that?
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Make his NFL debut.
Good luck to him.
It looks like a Patriots uniform, you know? I don't even know exactly. Yeah, Patriots.
Here we go.
Western Kentucky and HBU alum Bailey Zappi, who shredded the Red Raiders and almost beat Texas Tech. The key word being almost.
Almost. And it was by the hair of our chinny chin chin. Glad that don't have to deal with that anymore. Because now the offensive coordinator there.
So do you take it now to the Texas Tech quarterback battle and say, who looks the most like Bailey Zappi? And that would obviously be Baron Morton. Or does that even matter, trying to create and install his new system?
Okay, so if I'm the offensive coordinator, the first defining thing that I look for in a quarterback is accuracy. Accuracy on the short pass, accuracy on the medium pass, accuracy on the long pass. If you're not accurate, I don't care if you're mobile. If you're not accurate, I don't care that you can throw it 100 yards. I need you to be accurate. I need you to throw it to your team and not the other. And if you don't have a cannon, but you can hit a 35-yard play accurately. I just won't throw deep. But you got to be able to hit that guy in stride and not have him coming back for it or things along those lines. You've got to be able to hit the route. The next thing on the list is identifying the defense you're throwing against. That kind of goes into accuracy, but I treat it as a different skill because even if you can't read a defense, you can still be accurate. Knowing where to throw the football is as important as throwing the football there correctly. I can teach you, if I'm an offensive coordinator, what to look for in a defense to know where to throw it. But throwing against air, you've got to be able to hit your guy. Then I look for mobility. Then I get into, you know, leadership goes into somewhere in this category as well. If you can do the first two things, though, I can work with you. And I know all three of our quarterbacks currently can, but that's where the line starts.
Great breakdown. I just saw something.
Do you disagree?
No, that's a great breakdown. I just, they have this from the 1980s here, and it's one of the Philadelphia Philly players puts a lightable device in the cleat of the first base coach, and he goes out there to coach first, and his heel catches fire.
Oh, this was in the 80s.
That's okay. What I said, in the 80s.
Oh, okay. See, when you said lightable device, I'm thinking he's got, like, light-up shoes now.
No, I'm talking about his heel caught fire.
His heel caught fire, yes.
Oh, sorry, that caught my funny bone. Okay, let's talk about wide receivers.
Got to be able to catch. Got to be able to not only catch something here, and I'm talking like writing in your numbers, but...
Wait a minute, that was Vasher's toughest pass to catch.
Again, not only do you have to be able to catch it here, but out, and then out, and then both hands each way. And if you can get a hand on it, you need to be able to, like, that's where it starts. You got to be able to, or were you talking just in general wide receivers? Did I do a deep dive on you?
You did. Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Well, I kind of started the show by saying I'm excited about Trey Cleveland and Jaren Bradley. Those will be your X and Z receivers. Now, the guys that I'm excited about are listed as backups. This was back in the summer, so we'll see about new depth charts. But J.J. Sparkman, Loic Fungi, and then, of course, haven't got to Miles Price, his H receiver with Xavier White. Nehemiah Martinez is also listed on there. So, and then some youth way back in your third and fourth strings. But those guys got me excited, man. I think they're going to be better than expected.
It all comes, and this sucks for them, but it all comes down to who the quarterback is, as I think how effective your wide receivers will be. Not that I think any of the three guys you throw out there can't be effective. And I'm not one of those that believes if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have one necessarily. But until they know who's throwing the ball to them 99% of the time, all that timing stuff that you want to get with all of these guys, you're splitting between all three of them. And I think that hurts the wide receivers and the tight ends and the running backs because everything changes just a little bit. That's why it's so important. The quarterback touches the ball almost every single play. And I say almost because there's a thing called a direct snap. That's the only reason. The center is the only guy that touches the ball every play. So they need to be working with these guys. And that's why this scrimmage on Saturday I'm so intrigued by that we don't get to watch and we'll have to wait until we hear from them on it. But I think that's a giant factor in setting up your team for the rest of the season.
I did too. What will that look like? Who knows? By the way, Don Williams said that Weston Wright rolled an ankle in practice yesterday, set out the rest as a precautionary measure, said he would be back. Joey McGuire said he'd be back for the first scrimmage on Saturday.
Oh, wow. That, only a couple, must not have been that bad of a rolled ankle.
Peterson and Mason Tharp banged up.
He had a tweak.
It'll be... We'll learn a lot on Saturday, that's for sure. and looking
forward. Well, they will. They'll eventually tell us. There's no availability at the scrimmage either, so we'll have to wait till Monday, I think. And that's okay. I am happy to wait on their schedule.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score. We've got two more, and we'll give way to the bottom line for an abbreviated version of that program. But it could be interesting, as McGuire gave us a little bit of a hint. It is Choice and Cleans. Two station rivals on together for 40 minutes. Zach, are you going to be able to play bouncer, intermediator, whatever, mediator?
Mediate, maybe occasionally stoke the fires of one guy, but then be ready to extinguish those.
To stoke the fires on the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a facilitator for both today.
It's kind of like how the Verbi rant. Choice and I started off very much kind of not devil's advocate, but you know we were trying to calm the flame. I was trying to do the opposite. I was trying to fan the flame. Me and Choice, we were kind of egging on a little bit, and then we were like, oh, he's serious. And then it was, we need water. Fire department, get in now. This man is...
And that was an inferno.
This man is heated. Yeah, and let the snowball get too big.
What kind of car do you drive? That was the best line in all of that.
You guys gotten any chuckles on these massive helmet pads that guys are wearing?
Yeah, did you see what Jason Kelce did? Where he already had his, you know, pad, and then he put bubble wrap and like an afro on top of it.
Where's this coming from?
I saw it on the Twitter. This was last week.
No, we had fiddle music.
Oh.
I think it was Alabama you were playing.
Ah, it was.
My fault? Or is this something different?
As far as I think it was just the end of the bed. I never turned it down.
Aha! Okay. Now, I haven't seen these.
Some of these.
Although I did spend quite a bit of time looking at neck pads in a video yesterday. Remember like the Brian Cox neck pad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Saw like, 12, 13 of them of the like guys that were wearing one. I'm like, yep, I remember that one. Yep, I remember that one. And when they went under the jersey for a while, so they looked bigger there, and why they went away, and... That's about as close as I've seen to head pads.
I saw the West Virginia running backs, okay? And they were the camera was in the end zone, and they were watching the play come at them. And I thought it might have been one of those deals where you can blow up the head and shrink the body, and the body's just this. No, it was real. It just looked so weird with these pads that are on these helmets. And who'd you say? Was it Kelce?
Yeah, Jason Kelce. Eagles Kelce.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so little baseball question here.
This is what I'm talking about.
If we got time for this. Real quick.
These massive...
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Pads. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've seen those. They look weird.
Yeah.
But if they protect somebody once, I'm okay with it.
What do you got?
Okay, so Rangers Hall of Fame game weekend. It's the Rangers induction. One of the guys they're inducting... I'm going to say his name, and you're immediately going to have a reaction. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to have a reaction, positive or negative. Ian Kinsler going into the Rangers Hall of Fame this weekend. Thumbs up, thumbs down on that.
Thumbs up.
You're a thumbs up on Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, I'm thumbs up. Frustrating as he was at times, he was really, really good at times and more good than bad.
As frustrating as he was at times, and there was a lot of that, as frustrating as he was toward the Rangers after he left, more so, I'm a big time thumbs down on this. Like, he's not my most hated former Ranger, that is still C.J. Wilson, but he's a very close number two. With how he treated Arlington every time he came back, when he was playing against the Rangers. And I'm not just talking like his play on the field. I'm talking how he treated former teammates in that regard. Just being an absolute jerk face. Being into the Rangers Hall of Fame. I don't know that I could have put him in. And maybe I'm completely wrong on this. Because he did do a lot of good things for the Rangers. But, yeah, I'm a...
Let's see here. Let's get away from how he treated people and go just numbers. 8 years for the Rangers. Batting average during that time, .273. 462 walks. He did strike out 568 times.
How many times? How many times did he pop up to second because he was trying to hit the home run?
539 runs batted in. 156 home runs. So you're saying that when he went to Detroit is when he was a jerk
when he
to
got
everybody?
Traded, yeah, like to everybody with regards to the Rangers, just jerk face. That's really the only way I can describe it on the radio and not have an FCC fine.
I don't know. I remember seeing him and Michael Young having some friendly, like, joking back and forth.
I guess I never saw that.
Like on Twitter because Young had retired.
Young
left. Kinsler's last year in Arlington. Young
That's right.
retired
That's right.
when he got traded to, but I'd see him joking around like when he was with, was he ever with the A's at one point?
I don't think so.
Maybe it was, maybe when he was with the Angels. Year. But
Angels, Red Sox, Padres, done.
Maybe it was Padres.
Padres last year in 2019.
Yeah. Joking around with Michael Young, talking about California stuff or whatever and this and that.
But you two were thumbs up. Okay, I'm wrong on this then. But my impression of
his career, 1,999 hits.
One more guy. Need one more.
I don't know that I could have retired there. He might not have had the option.
Yeah.
Let's make this clear.
909 ribbies. But can you imagine? You know, over that time, a 12-year career, that there's probably 20
just rock jobs.
Scorekeepers that said, nah, that's not a hit.
Yeah.
And they come down to get 1,099.
Let's go back, retroactively review every time he reached on an air, see if that's worthy of an air.
Oh, well. 1,999 career hits. Pretty darn good. I'm not saying he's like an overall Hall of Famer, but a Rangers Hall of Famer, yes.
Well, yeah. Absolutely not a Hall of Fame Hall of Famer. 100% not a Hall of Fame Hall of Famer, but Rangers Hall of Famer. I don't know that I can pull that trigger.
They're all over with you here. There's a lot on the Ace Flooring Center chat line here. And a lot of it's thumbs down on Kinsler. Thumbs down on Kinsler. Thumbs down on Kinsler. We need pay-per-view Choice Woodman and Clint UFC style. And that was Dixieland Delight.
I think I'm going on Clinton this one.
Spark, do not referee. Just let them play. That's from Shelley. I
feel like the WWE guest referee.
How about
this?
Don't get involved unless you need to get. If they're playing nice,
then you get involved.
Then you get involved. We don't want any nice playing here.
Have you seen this video? It's like how guys who are always trying to start something in high school be. And it's these guys playing video games, and it's like, oh man, he's working you. Yeah, he doesn't really play 2K that much. You know, it's cool, whatever. It's like, you're Golden State, and he's beaten, and you're getting worked like that? Man, like I said, he's going to tell you what you play and don't play? What? And it's just like, they're totally chill, and this guy just agitates and instigates. They're like, if he wants to do something, we can do something. Oh, we go do something.
Do something. FCC doesn't mind Jack Wagon. That's my go-to. That's what I call the Sooner Schooner, too.
No. The point that I'm Jack making, Wagon. I can't go further than that.
I know what you want to say. Kinsler was a jerk, but he was also good in his prime, from the Ace Flooring Center chat line. I would put Mickey Tettleton in over Kinsler.
I think I would, too.
All right, so get us your questions. Opening it up. Football, basketball,
I didn't do that for you yet. Did I, Sparky? Your thing coming up.
Montage.
I'm a terrible person.
Spin it again. Fire choice. All on the table. Because we got one more coming up on this Thursday here on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.